Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent. E.ca, a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your
trucks and late night reflection, which frankly, with a couple kids at home, I'm rather than Ray Borisboom. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Like right in the corner.
Great. You happy there?
Yeah, it's great. I mean,
shine through the winter. All right, man.
Everybody was telling me that.
Weeks, yeah.
Oh, okay. I've never been to Montreal. I'm like begging to go. Work opportunity in Alberta, like early 2000s, sleeping in Lethbridge.
Yeah, I get
that. I thought that was really when we were here looking for apartments. So I think the anniversary, and then when she got the news that she was accepted for the position, it bode really well for me. So we have some friends just pop the question. But it was funny that it was.
Wow. That's really beautiful, man. So you got down on one, you got down on the knee. Great.
Yeah.
How did you and Charlotte meet?
So when I was down in Lethbridge, like a couple of weeks.
Oh, man.
Of course, that's the way that this girl, but like, obviously she has a boyfriend. So I was like really torn about it. We connected. And then I probably did I actually ended up playing that year. So it was a really nice, like full circle.
Chip chatter part of When We Wake and play some music. Like. These days due June 5th. That is Tyson Ray Borisboom with Exit Sign. Tyson is my guest on today's episode of When We Wake. I read that you said you started songwriting after watching a Canadian Idol competition talk to me about that. What happened? What year? Who was on it? What did it do to you?
That's a deep cut. I love that. So I think I was playing guitar from, you know, like 13 to like 16-ish. And then, you know, the friend group that I was in, they kind of started to fizzle out with the guitar playing. So just like the friend groups are just like, I don't know if it, you know, wasn't cool anymore or whatever, you know, the stupid social perception that everybody cares about in like middle school and high school. And
does it end there, Tyson?
Yeah, really end at high school? What? I'm trying so hard, and I think I'm like finally grasping a little bit of like caring less what people think, but it's so difficult.
Excellent.
It's so difficult. And I kind of stopped playing guitar, and then probably like a year had passed, and you know, just watching like American Idol, Canadian Idol with like, you know, mom or dad or whatever. And I believe it was Theo Tams that was a finalist, or he might have actually ended up winning that year. He was from Coaldale, like my hometown that I grew up in. And I think the song was Collide. Was it Howie?
Oh, Howie Day.
Yeah, Collide.
Yeah.
And like that kind of like sparked, and I like started kind of like humming it to myself. And then, you know, I obviously knew how to play guitar, so I was like, oh, okay. So I picked it back up, and it's so funny, you know, like being like somewhat of a seasoned, you know, songwriter and singer now, the difficulty of like when you're first starting, like grasping the words to guitar, making that brain connection, months, you know what I mean? Like months just to learn like one song. I'm so glad that I did. Like that was a moment when I kind of like picked it back up, and then you're like singing, you know, closet singing for months, years. I remember like learning like Boulevard of Broken Dreams and trying to sing it, you know, like Green Day, and you know, I'm in like my dad's camper, and I'm like, and nobody can be in the trailer right now. I'm practicing my singing. Everybody go like 50 totally. Feet away.
Yeah. And plug yours, by the way, also.
Yeah. But no, that was like a funny, that was kind of, yeah, my first experience with.
So you're like 15, 16 at that point?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're bashing out Green Day, you're bashing out the Chili's and Tragically Hip as well. Is that
Yeah, I think yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tragically Hip. huge like Kings of Leon fan. I don't really, really think it was like in my range at the time, but I was trying like so hard to sing like Pyro and some of those like, you know, mid 2000s OGs, which are like an incredibly difficult range thinking back.
Right.
Yeah, we would do like the garage band thing. And we were singing like Gloria Sons has been a big band on my radar from like way back when, and the Strokes. Like I was big into the like alternative rock kind of back then, and then kind of started to move more into like the more songwriting stuff. I mean, obviously starting with like Collide. I mean, that was kind of you know, my musical influences from back when. But I've always, you know, liked an eclectic mix.
Where does the country influence come from
for you? Yeah, so I mean, I think that there was like a time when I feel like I got into country for like a couple years, and I was like, no, I hate country. And then I got into country, and I remember in like high school, or it was like university, and a friend was like, well, like country's for like the summertime. And I thought that was such a funny like reference point. Like, oh no, I only listen to country in the summertime. And I was like,
in the summer. Yeah, sure.
That doesn't really make sense to me. But I think just like the seasonality of it, I thought was like an interesting concept. So I was like, oh, okay, well, me, you know, maybe leaving the genre for like a year or two and then coming back. Maybe that was just my like seasonality of it.
I like that. If country is summer, what's winter?
I think like an alternative rock, honestly.
Okay. I like this. Let's just go through it. What's spring for you?
Spring obviously feels folky, but I know fall is folky though.
Okay, great. And so we're left with fall. We're saying autumn, the fall is folky, and spring is,
I don't know,
to be determined.
Yeah, to be determined.
Right. Notably absent is jazz.
Yes. I feel like the spring, the bluesy, jazzy, I think would make sense there.
Okay, great. They're your seasons. I really dig that. So you gave yourself permission to sort of vacation a little bit with country music.
Yeah.
I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to an all-inclusive, but, you know, I will be back again, and I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that the country, I'm not sure. I wouldn't say, like, everybody, but I think that, like, a lot of people at one time in their life is like listening to like the pop country, unless that's just like your genre. If that's your genre, then that's awesome. But like,
right.
I think the most recent time that I've like come back and then like settled into it more was when I found the more like singer songwriter side of country. Yeah. I mean, even like Taylor Swift, not her most recent record, but like the Folklore album. And like when she started doing songwriting and stuff with like the national team and like Bon Iver, I was like, as soon as I saw her like collaborating with those teams, I saw the songwriting be different, like in like not in that pop country genre, and I loved it. I loved it. Like those records to me are super great.
What changed for you in the songwriting? Mm-hmm. Can you articulate it? Because I hear it too, but how do you articulate the change for you that made you go, I like this now?
I think that I'm not sure if it's in the songwriting. I think it's honestly in the production side of it, that it has less pop.
Yeah, I wondered.
Yeah. I mean, getting more into like the singer-songwriter side, like finding like the Tyler Childers, the Colter Walls. I mean, it's up for debate whether like a Zach Bryan is a pop country or not. I mean, I've heard in like lots of interviews and stuff him saying that he doesn't even like being called country. I mean, he's like a, you know, a songwriter or like a folk singer.
I mean, definitely sits outside the mold of pop country. Yeah, like he's embraced by, you know.
Yeah, like I'm a huge Zach Bryan fan. I mean honestly, I mean, his songwriting, I would like to say is pretty undeniable. I mean, the lyrics that he writes and stuff are pretty prolific. But as soon as I started to like get into that more, I would like to call it like the like alt country or like country songwriter, I guess. I mean, obviously they're all songwriters, but does that make sense? That kind of like generality to be more in like the folk presence. I started to see some of the lyricism and like some of the production that I did really like, and like super drawn to the pedal steel and like some of the more like twangy, poppy, or like boppy guitar. I mean, some like guitar riffs that me and like the band like to talk about, or like, do you know the artist Skinny Dick?
Yeah, you're wearing your shirt, aren't you?
Yeah, man.
I can see Skinny. I figured it was Skinny Dick. I put Skinny on the show.
But like guitar tone that him and his band have are something that we like love so much. The Skinnies, the Mario Buckleys, like that type of tone, that, you know, folk singer-songwriter side of country is something that I love. So as soon as I started to kind of like embrace that, I feel like I really started to like come into my own and then kind of have that genre blending. And I really want to try to stay not necessarily 50-50. I mean, whatever comes out is whatever comes out, but just have that really nice blend of, you know, alt country, Americana, folk, singer-songwriter, kind of stay in this like half pie, or I don't know what the three circles thing is called.
I feel the Venn diagram.
The Venn diagram. You got the country, the folk, and then like a singer songwriter.
Totally. Well, they got your three seasons basically. Yeah. You got your spring, summer, fall. Mm-hmm. Well, this one feels particularly autumnal to me. From his forthcoming album, These Days, this is Tyson Ray Borsboom with Learning Slow. More of our chat after this.
Some bleeds hair, tracking in the dirt, keeping daisies in the pocket of your shirt. Spinning wheels, you're casting shadows on the wall. You're learning slow, not at all. Something I never had. I'm not the sharpest tool. You take me by my hand. Will we go the distance, or will you be there when I fall? Learning slow. Face up to the glass, I can see the you and me. Those hands in the rear view, all the circles that you need. Stand in your shoes, but I ain't afraid to crawl. Learning slow or not at all. Learning slow, not at all. Tracking in the dirt, picking lilies when you're feeling at your worst. Skipping stones when you turn down my wall. Learning slow or not at all. Learning slow.
Learning Slow from his forthcoming album, These Days, due June 5th. That is Tyson Ray Borsboom. Tyson is my guest on today's episode of When We Wake.
Coming from Calgary, I think that, like, you know, I reference like missing Calgary and friends and stuff, but I think that I was just kind of falling into this, you know, group there of, you know, amazing, prolific songwriters and bandmates, and then kind of, you know, fell into this move, which making the most of like Vancouver, and honestly been doing songwriting here and like found such an amazing community, but still kind of finding myself missing. Michael Bernard Fitzgerald, who's like a little bit of my mentor, I feel like manager would be in a very loose unofficial sense, but mentor for sure. He started a collective that they're called Pocono House, and I feel like it's not super well known. I mean, maybe in Calgary a little bit, if you know, you know. But I think he's trying to curate, you know, I'm sure you're very familiar with the like amazing community in Winnipeg.
Oh my goodness! It's wild,
crazy, going on crazy, Winnipeg. And just
totally
very like beautifully in incestuous, where they're all just on each other's projects, sure. And writing with each other and producing. So Michael, like, I think that there was so many, or there is so many amazing songwriters and amazing musicians in Calgary, but maybe not like collaborating with each other and being in the same space at the same time. So he started Pocono House, which was originally in his house. Like, I think he moved in with his now partner, and instead of like selling the old place or renting it out, he made like a studio production, like creative space. Wow. So it was very small at the time, only like 3 or 4 rooms, different studios in each room. We'd all like rent to different rooms, get together for like songwriting. If you need somebody to like play bass on your record, okay, well, buddy's in this room. Okay, you need like a producer. Well, this guy's in this room. Oh, you need keys. You know, she's in this room. So it was like a space to, and then we're all in this group chat. So like, you need somebody to like play on this, or you need an instrumentalist for a gig. They're all like in this community, and now it's grown, and we have a space, or Michael has a space downtown in Calgary. And I think there's like 10 or 12 rooms now. So there's like 2 or 3 people in all the different rooms, studio equipment, songwriting space. And it's just amazing. It's like where I met the whole band, like, you know, Nick, Jesse, Phoenix, my producer, everybody's there, like Taylor, who came on tour with me for a while. Yeah. Amazing musician. Like, it was, I just felt so lucky that they were just sitting in the palm of my hand in this space, this collective that I was so lucky to be a part of.
You miss it, eh?
I've written some songs lately. I think it was like in the wintertime, you know, having a sad, cloudy day and Charlotte's gone or something like that. And it's definitely good for songwriting. I will say that the cloudy journeys.
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I get to go back. My day job like pulls me back to Alberta, you know, somewhat often. So I get to see that crew. And then, you know, when I'm back, you know, get some studio time and stuff like that. So, I don't know if it's going to be like a forever thing. It's kind of like, with Charlotte's work, whether we're going to be in Vancouver long term or not. I think that there's definitely a side of us who wants to end up back in Calgary. But you never really know what the future holds. So
where does that leave you in terms of like the way you talk about Calgary and your time there? You were deeply embedded in a community.
Yeah.
And you know, you still, when you're referring to the Pocono House, you're still saying we.
Yeah.
And then you caught yourself.
Yeah.
You're still part of it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So where does that leave you in Vancouver currently about how deep into the community you try to go? Are you sort of untethered and you'll let yourself go, or are you sort of like hedging your bets internally?
I think that the way that I'm approaching it is that I feel like I have a good base in Calgary. You know, I have like a good fan base, but also a good like friend base and musician base. So I'm just trying to build what I built in Calgary in Vancouver. You know, I think that like the goal long term, I've kind of always said in like my one song Coast to Coast, there's like a line in there, and it's just like, I just want like 100 people to come to a show in like every major city across Canada. It's not the ceiling. I don't want it to say that it's the ceiling, but it's like, I feel like it's an attainable, I feel like it's an achievable goal for me. And like,
yeah,
$20 ticket, maybe 25, like max, that pays that like hotels, you pay for the band. You probably still have to be independent at that point. If you got like, you know, you got to spread that money around. It's totally, you know, pretty fast, but 100 people across Canada is just like, yeah, that's my achievable dream, if you will. So
that's a great floor.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's a great floor.
Yeah. I think, and it's just like a 100 room also is just like, I think it's great. I love those rooms. If you can fill those rooms, you know, like the Royal and yeah. Nelson or something like that, like just one of my favorite rooms. It's great. Just trying to like build that community in Calgary, you know, songwriters, fans, just like really diving into the community. I wouldn't call it like tethered. I'm literally just trying to, I mean, there's so many amazing songwriters here as well. So I think just trying to like build that community. I mean, so many people that I know in Vancouver know those Calgary people know those Vancouver people. Oh, so I just kind of see it as me extending my reach, getting new fans, meeting new people, and just kind of continuing the like Canadian growth, if you will. Yeah.
Have you met the people in Vancouver that you can go into co-writes with?
I haven't done like a ton of co-writes. This last record was kind of the first time, like, you know, Jesse, me and him did Exit Sign, Colin, me and him did a few songs, and then I was lucky enough to do a couple songs with Josh. That's like the most recent time. So I think as I would probably spent, you know, 3 years building that community before I actually got around to doing any songwriting. So I think Vancouver's kind of going to be somewhat the same.
Right.
Definitely trying to branch out, do some more songwriting. I don't know why I think that collaborative songwriting is so great, but I think that I'm like hard on myself in a sense that I have a little bit of a negative stigma on doing the collaborative songwrites, because I'm like, am I like cheating? Like, am I not being hard enough on myself to say like, no, you can do that yourself? Or like, you know, are you leaning on other artists too much? And I know that that's probably not a good view to have. Like, you're just collaborating. Like, two minds are better than one. You know what I mean? But it's an interesting concept of like, where would have the song been, or like where would have the song went if it was, you know, you wrote it yourself or something. So it's just like a funny like push and pull, I guess, in my brain.
Yeah. How do you decide when to embark on a co-write, or, you know, what song to bring into a co-write?
Totally. I think that when you have the idea for a song, a writer can like come to mind. Like I was kind of like an idea came to mind and instantly like Colin Carbonara came up in my mind. So I have like a big notes page with like song ideas and kind of like a song or like a voice memo where the song stemmed from, and then kind of like the lyrical ideas or maybe like a hook or something like that. And then if there's like a songwriter or a friend that I have in mind, I'll kind of like footnote them on it. But usually the reference point is like, just honestly, the time. Like, if you're like happen to be seeing that friend, something that I really like to do is when Sweet Montana got written. There's a song off my last record, if you've heard, but I went, it was very early on the Kono days, and I was with Phoenix and I wanted to do some co-writing, and I just gave him like my notes app, and I was just like, scroll through, and you know, whenever you see like an idea or like a voice memo or something that just like catches your eye, then just let me know and we'll just like riff off that. And it was Sweet Montana, which was like a motorcycling, doing trips with my dad, kind of like exploration, freedom type song. And it was super easy. Like, he somehow had this like guitar riff that just instantly came out, and then the lines came out super. It's only like a 2.5 minute song, so it was, you know, not superly lyrically jam-packed. But I feel like we wrote that song in like 25 minutes.
The open road, smell of pine, 47 Chevy, never enough time. The bike got tore, but we made it fine. Sweet. Mountain top, sweet mountain.
from his 2025 self-titled release, I guess you could say, TRB. That is my guest on today's episode of When We Wake, Tyson Ray Borsboom with Sweet Montana. Now back to our chat. I've read you refer to co-writing as the most magical, beautiful experiences. I'm wondering, that experience with Sweet Montana, is that one of those experiences with Phoenix that you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that probably when I reference that is that with Jesse more specifically, with Colin more specifically, not really with Phoenix as much, but those two, you know, buddies, friends are really good listeners. They're really good listeners. So I think that as much as songwriting is therapeutic, you can, you know, reference it as a bit of a therapy session. So I think that's kind of what I was referencing with that line, in a sense that I honestly, I've been meaning to like go to therapy, and I feel like everybody should go there. I feel like it's probably the greatest thing ever, whether it's like a financial constraint or like insurance or what the situation is. I haven't gotten around to going since I was like a young man, and I want to so bad. So I think that where that line comes from is the fact that I had these like beautiful therapy sessions with friends of mine, where I was able to just like puke out these ideas and these feelings that were on my chest and be able to work them through into this song, which feels so great. Feels great to like get it off your chest, if you will, but also just to like talk it through, whether it's you're validating your feelings or finding those comparison points or like coming to a solution, if you will, of this like idea or feeling that's in your head. So
that's really interesting, and it sits in not contradiction, but like in tension, in conflict with what you referenced earlier, which is this feeling that you struggle that with respect to co-writing, that you struggle with the idea that it's taking the easy way out by having someone else help you finish. Those two concepts seem in contradiction to each other.
Yeah, and that's exactly the push and pull that I deal with when.
Right.
I think that I need to let go of the concept that I'm not cheating the right, but just like cheating myself by being. I think that as long as I'm flexing that muscle, I think that that feeling comes from sessions when I maybe feel like I haven't contributed as much as I could. With Colin, for example, I feel like is the example that I'm like maybe referencing, is I will be like, okay, this is what I want to write about. Here's all my feelings. I'll, you know, give him like the 30-minute speech, and then we'll kind of have the lines, and then he'll just like put together these like beautiful metaphors. Like Learning Slow was one of those songs where I just like, here's all my emotions, the feelings. So I would feel like I maybe didn't contribute to the song as much as I could, as much as I would have liked lyrically line by line, but like feelings and like where the root of the song came from was completely from me. But because I wasn't like actually being like, oh, here's the line. Oh, here's the line. Oh, here's the line. I'm like, oh, like, am I not doing enough? Like, could I be doing more? Like, should have I, you know, maybe taken a stab at that earlier? Maybe just giving myself some grace and just realizing that that is what songwriting is. There is a push and pull. And like, sometimes you're the heart and sometimes you're the lyricist. It's, you know, you're contributing one way or another. It's not always the same. Every songwriting session, every, you know, lyricist or artist that you work with, it's always going to be different.
Well, there you go. Like I was going to say, maybe give yourself the grace, because there is no one way to write a song. It's not that that's what songwriting is. It's because there's no one way to write a song. You're hard on yourself, hey?
I would like to think quite hard on myself. Yeah.
why would you like to think that? You gotta lighten up on yourself, Tyson.
I don't know.
Maybe you don't have to. Don't take it from me. Be hard on yourself.
Yeah. The conversation of like, is it enough versus like giving yourself credit, you know, really taking a second to like pause and like be in that moment is hard. I feel like it is hard for me, because there is a bit of a what's next. And I would like to think that a lot of people in society like deal with that issue. But yeah, I really do try to remember to stop and smell the roses more these days, because I feel like all those quotes and like they're, you know, TikTok and Instagram or whatever, the point of like, hey, just like take a second to like pause and like appreciate where you are, because like this is where you were like battling to be like 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like give yourself some grace and some thanks and some appreciation, because like you've worked hard to be here. need to pause and be grateful more often. And I'm definitely trying. I feel like I am getting better at that.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about Trucker Seat. It feels like that song maybe sits there.
For sure. Yeah. Trucker Seat was a song that I honestly wasn't sure was going to make the record. I got a critique way back when that lives just rent-free in my mind.
Bastard.
Tell Me on the last record was written like a long, long time ago, and I got a review one time on it, and it's a longer song. It's like 4 minutes 50 or like 5:20 or something like that. Tell Me. And basically this review was like, who do you think you are? Like, it just drones on forever. Like, this is the longest song I've ever heard. So I'm like, oh no, like, don't make long songs. Like, songs aren't allowed to be long. But even when I tried to revisit Tell Me, I was like, every lyric, every line meant something to me and was like getting to the point of what I was trying to achieve in the end of the song. So like, there's nothing that I can do in this song besides like take out the last chorus, but that just, you know, I can't do that. I can't go like bridge into end
for one person that you don't know.
Yeah, caring too much. That was when I was at the peak pinnacle of caring the reviews and everything.
Did that finally get you over the hump, or were you still that review? Like, it obviously, I know about reviews. I hear you. I feel you. How did you then proceed from reading, hearing?
Yeah, reading. Review? Yeah, yeah. Read it? I think that it was still on my mind, and then I was playing a show. It was one of my first shows here in Vancouver, and I was still kind of like test rolling Trucker Seat, and just like a random fan just like stumbled into the show, came up afterwards, and was like so complimentary, and was like, man, that like second last song you sang, like that's the one, man. That's a good one. I was like, really? Like, tell me about it. Cause it's such a slow build and like very lyric heavy, you know, it doesn't really ever having a super big part of it that really hits. It's just like, it's very conceptual and like leading somewhere the whole time. And it has like a bit of a big finish, but like, I was very interested for him to be like, oh, like that's the one. And I was like, oh, like it's so long though. And he's like, no, who cares about it? So
we don't care about the length.
Yeah.
We really don't. What we care about is the feeling we're getting listening. I think that I'm with that person. I think that song's so beautiful. I mean, talking about the conflict of being a songwriter, it feels like is embedded.
Yeah. So Trucker Seat's really great for me. I mean, I think that it's just like the whole concept of like life and love and like where it's leading you and just like wanting to be on the right path and like not wanting to make those sacrifices for the wrong reasons. Trucker Seat. Yeah. I mean, at its very core, my day job, I do like marketing. And for a while I was driving truck. I was driving truck. Uh-huh. And, a phrase that like lives in my mind is this conversation that I had with my dad, the company that I have during the day, work with my dad. And I was doing some like night bartending at the time, and this conversation, he like came in and he was like leaning over the bar and he's like, Tyson, this is a big opportunity. Like, there's a lot of money to be made here. Like, you know, you put your nose to the grindstone, like this could really pan out for you. And I just remember responding, just saying like, I don't care. I'm not saying that I'm going to quit it. I will like, I will stick with it and I will like do what needs to be done, but it's not the goal. It's not the goal. Like, I don't care about the money. I understand that money is like something that makes the world go around and like I need it, but I would so rather be poor and be a songwriter and like be out on the road and like be loving my life. Like, being on stage, like I love songwriting, but like being on stage and like that feeling, it is so great. Like, I literally just live for it. Like, I love being on tour. I think that it's so great. The smiles, the emotions, everybody's having a great time. It's just like such a good vibe. So just like chasing that feeling and like chasing that dream. You know, my relationship with my dad has always been like a push and pull. So I would say I'm like proud of myself in that moment to just be like, no.
Well, I'm proud of you too, Tyson. from Tyson Ray Borsboom's forthcoming album, These Days. Here's a standout track for me, and it's a long one. I love it. It's Trucker Seat on When We Wake.
Will I get up early and I don't stay up late? Got too many things, can't afford to think straight. It's $1.40 and it keeps on going up. Someone tell me how to afford all this stuff. Got one in the house, want to eventually. Don't get me started on the way out.
Oh,
little Skinnered in the guitar tone, hey? That's ex-trucker Tyson Ray Borsboom with Trucker Seat. Now back to the conclusion of our wake-up call. You said that music, one of the things that music taught you is that things that seem out of reach are indeed attainable. And it feels to me like you're living that. You're going after that.
I'm definitely trying. I'm trying my very best.
Well, Tyson, your new album these days comes out June 5th. You'll be in the middle of a massive 30-day tour at that point.
Yeah.
You said earlier that you love songwriting, but you really love being on stage. You must be thrilled this upcoming.
Yeah.
We are chatting on the 23rd of April. Are you, when do you start these shows?
Yeah, the shows start on the 13th of May.
Okay.
And then I'm really hoping, fingers crossed, haven't started any booking yet, but I'm going to try to see if I can get some dates out east. I've really been trying to get out to the Toronto, Montreal area for a long time. And
you got to get further east than that, my man.
I know. I've literally never been to the East Coast, and it makes me so, so sad.
You got friends out
there. I do. I do. And I do want to come see everybody. So I'm going to do my very best.
Let's enjoy the highs and weather the lows. Tyson Ray Borsboom, it's been so great to meet you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
See ya.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode of When We Wake. Big, big thanks to my guest, Tyson Ray Borsboom. His new album, These Days, is due June 5th, and he hits the road on a mega major tour out west. 30 dates starting May 13th. TysonRayBorsboom.com. That's B-O-R-S-B-O-O-M for more info, or at TysonRayBorsboom on Instagram. I'm at The Andrew Shaver. Our theme song is Got You by my pal and yours, Noah Reed. Thanks for listening.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo! My goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Tu as 14 à 30 ans et tu veux créer une activité en français pour les jeunes de ta communauté? Avec le programme VIF, c'est possible. Tu peux recevoir $850 pour ton soutenir ton activité et l'organisme partenaire reçoit $150 pour appuyer. Passe à l'action et fais rayonner le français dans ta communauté. Visite programmevive.ca et dépose ta demande dès maintenant.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station? Well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.